It's Phoenix FM Drive, and I'm joined in the studio by Lorraine from Lozzie Hakes Bakes. We're talking cakes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How did you get into baking cakes?
Well, I mean, I've always been interested in baking cakes. My mum was training to be a food tech teacher when she was at college. My granddad was a baker, so I've always had that kind of baking gene in the family, as it were. And I used to bake a lot when I was a kid, mainly Swiss rolls for my friends, which they always thought it was very weird. But I really got into it a couple of years ago when I'd finished work at a marketing company and really just wanted to do more from home so I could stay home with my little one and pick him up from school and do the mum thing as well. So that's really why I started Lozzie Hakes Bakes. It was a good creative outlet for me.
And this is a full-time job for you, isn't it?
It does take up a lot of my time, yeah. Something I really do enjoy. I've got lots of orders coming up through the year, so it's been really good.
What's the actual process of baking a cake, say a birthday cake for a five-year-old? Do you get a brief from the person, like they like football or they like ponies, and do you have to go surfing the internet for templates and pictures, or do you do it all from scratch?
A lot of people actually send me ideas that they've found on Pinterest or through Google, and then we can sort of work from that. So if they have a very specific design that they want, then they'll say, you know, like, can you maybe just, you know, colour this in a different, you know, different fondant colour, or, you know, and obviously change the name that appears on it. And it's really flexible, and that's how I work with clients, mainly from pictures that they've found.
And I'm obviously not much of a baker, so when I'm in the kitchen, even when I do egg and chips, it turns out different every time. What's your success rate with baking a cake perfect first time? Do you often have mishaps?
Sometimes there's been, well, one complete disaster where I forgot to put the baking powder in, and considering I'm supposed to be a professional, that was quite a disaster. But yeah, you just have to rebake, and if it comes out, you know, there's quite a peak on it, you can just, you know, shave the top off, because at the end of the day it's going to be covered in fondant and you do all your buffering, so you can hide quite a lot of sins with your bake.
So what's the common problem with making a cake? I think soggy bottoms are probably the most obvious one. What sort of mishaps would the average person at home encounter, and how can they avoid that sort of situation?
I've had a few people actually message me on Facebook, friends of mine, with, you know, help, it's peaking, or it's sunk in the middle, and there's a variety of things that can go wrong. When you're actually mixing the cake together, you can over mix the ingredients, so I tend to put the eggs in last, so that you're not over whisking the eggs. If you open the oven door, that's one of the crucial ones, before it's risen enough. Once you let that cold air in, the cake will sink. If the oven's too hot, you'll obviously get too much of a rise and you'll burn it, and then it will still be soggy in the middle. So it really is, you've got to follow your recipe for a start, and if it says leave it in for half an hour, check it at sort of 20 to 25 minutes, and with a wooden skewer you sort of insert it straight in, and if it comes out clean and you can tap the bottom of the oven dish and it sounds hollow, that's when it's cooked throughout. So that's a general test, but yeah, making sure it's cooked throughout is one of the essentials and problematic ones, I think.
And what about with different types of oven? Because obviously you've got fan-assisted ovens these days. What kind of allowances do you have to make for those situations?
With the recipes, it will give you two or three even. You get Fahrenheit and Celsius, and then you get fan-assisted ovens. So when you're following your recipe, it will adjust it for you. But I've got a fan-assisted one, and it was different to my previous oven that died on me. So I've had to make those adjustments. And yeah, generally, if the fan-assisted, you turn it down a little bit because you've got the circulation of the air. So that's how fan-assisted ovens work.
And what would you advise people who are looking at doing baking a little bit more than maybe once a week to actually go out and buy? What are your essential utilities to have in the kitchen?
I've got a handheld whisk, and my brother's going to be really cross with me because he bought me this lovely you know, the stand mixers, but I just can't get to grips with it. They're very nice, and I think a lot of people use them. They use them on the Great British Bake Off quite a lot, but there's nothing better than a handheld whisk, because you can really, you know, work it round and you just stick it back on the side afterwards. There's no lifting up and you don't have to use a splash guard. So I would say invest in a very high quality, high wattage handheld whisker. I've got a Bosch one, which has just been amazing, making a few resisting noises at the moment, so I think it's probably on its way out, but I go through about four a year. So yeah, high quality handheld whisk, and I would say if you really want to get into all the cake decorating, then you can find loads of bits on eBay quite cheap if you're willing to wait a while for them to come in. You can never have enough fondant cutters and, you know, texture mats, and my house is bursting at the seams with all these bits and pieces. And then really it's just, I mean, people always say about the high quality ingredients, but you can produce really lovely makes recipes with the basic ingredients from, you know, your local supermarket. It's
one of our presenters recently made a cake at home, a chocolate cake I think it was, and used the Betty Crocker cake mix. What are your thoughts on those pre-mixed bags versus the ingredient, you know, mixing and measuring the ingredients yourself?
I'm obviously going to vote for the whole making it yourself aspect, but if you've got kids, it's here's an easier way of getting them into baking, because usually all you have to do is add an egg, which people generally have in their fridge anyway, and they are a very good product, but not as tasty in my opinion.
And you mentioned eggs in the fridge. Where do you so obviously you're an eggs in the fridge person?
That's because when you have a business from home, if you've got a baking business, you have to keep your eggs in the fridge, because it's all to do with the health and safety aspect of owning a business.
There's actually some regulation as far as the health side goes then.
Yeah, I've had to apply to Braintree District Council for them to come and inspect the property to make sure that it's suitable for baking and that I've not got, you know, mice and things in the kitchen. So there is a lot of regulation, but it's not as scary as people would think it is to start a business if that's what you're looking to do as well. So fairly straightforward, just making sure that you know you're using the right cleaning equipment and things. So.
And how do you do the fancy coverings on tops of the cakes? Because there's a very good Liverpool football one on your Instagram feed, and I thought that was you being the fabulist artist you are, but apparently you just print them out.
Well, when you put it like that, it's really easy. Yeah, I've got an edible printer at home, which was, you know, it was about 40 quid. It's brilliant. And you just buy the icing sheets. So anyone can send me any image, and I'll print it out, and then you just lay it on top of the cake, you know. And job's done.
You mentioned your son. What advice have you got for getting the youngsters involved, and how should you introduce them to the baking? You mentioned the pre-mixes because it's easier. It's not just licking the spoon at the end, is it?
Oh, no. We don't do licking of spoons in my house, only because I'm a bit, you know, we've got to keep on with the hygiene, much to my son's disappointment. But, yeah, I just got him in straight away, and his dad does lots of baking with him as well, you know, even the just roll pastry, you know, you can make croissants and things. It's just those little bits, getting them into the kitchen, getting them used to handling equipment, and especially sharp knives as well, because you know, my son's quite good at using a fairly dangerous looking knife in the kitchen, but it's just all those little basic skills, because when I went to university, I was amazed at how many people couldn't cook, and they were chopping up chicken on the sides in the kitchen, and then I got really ill and really hated the fact that they lacked this basic knowledge of food preparation and cooking. So I just think get them in as early as possible, and it just trains them up.
What are your thoughts on shows like The Great British Bake Off? Do they set unreasonable expectations of what we can achieve in the home?
I think it's, well, not really. I think it's more the time aspect. I mean, they do have lots of time beforehand to practice their recipes and to perfect it. So, I mean, their houses must be absolutely chock-a-block with cakes and things that they've made. But they do get a lot of time to prep for it.
So what did you think of Mel and Sue leaving and the current lineup of Bake Off? Noel Fielding.
I was gutted. Mel and Sue left. Yeah, I really loved that pair, and Mary Berry as well, because she left.